You're listening to Turkish Football Weekly, available on the World Football Daily Club podcast feed. If you're a member of World Football Daily, you can go to the site and stream the show anytime to your computer, mobile phone, or tablet without having to download or sync anything. If you're not a member of World Football Daily, just search World Football Daily Club podcast in the iTunes store and download the World Football Daily Club podcast feed for free. Enjoy the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turkish Football Weekly for the week of February 6, 2014. My name is Atta Dizdar, and returning to the podcast this week is Jeremy Chapman. Jeremy, I missed you last week. You were out in the winter wonderland that was Indiana, but you're here this week, and welcome back.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I was actually in Illinois for a little bit last week, technically, in the Chicago area, and I was fleeing a snowstorm last week on podcast night, so I did successfully get away from that. I'm happy to report, but it's the nature of things these days. We've got plenty of winter to go around this year.
Yeah, and the D.C. area, I guess we just recovered from a snowstorm from last week. I see all the snow has pretty much melted, but we're here to talk about Turkish football this week. So let's get to our review of Week 19 results of the Turkish Super League. We'll start off with Friday and Saturday results. Friday's only results saw Beşiktaş beat Kayseri Erciyesspor 3-2. Saturday's results saw Kayserispor and Kasımpaşa play to a 0-0 draw. Antalyaspor losing at home to Gaziantepspor 1-0, and Eskişehirspor beating Fenerbahçe at home 2-1. Beşiktaş got goals through Manuel Fernandez in the 43rd minute, Gökhan Töre in the 53rd, and Ozan Özyakup in the 57th minute. Kayseri Erciyesspor made it interesting with goals from Kader Mangani in the 68th and Bjorn Flemix in the second half stoppage time, but the comeback was all for naught, so Beşiktaş wins there 3-2. Going into Saturday's matches, the one highlight that I saw from the Kayserispor Kasımpaşa match was in the 45th minute, where a back pass to Kasımpaşa goalkeeper Andreas Isaacson was mishandled, or he misread the pass. The ball almost went into the net, but Isaacson saved it off the line. Gaziantepspor still doing very well under Sergen Yalçın as Abdou Traoré in the 57th minute with the only goal for Gaziantepspor there. Gaziantepspor still have only lost once in the league since Sergen Yalçın took over as manager. And for the Eskişehirspor Fenerbahçe match, Henri Bienvenu in the 28th minute, and Erkan Zengin in the 83rd with the goals for Eskişehirspor there, while Dirk Kuyt with the only goal for Fenerbahçe in the 42nd. So Beşiktaş gets another win there to kind of close the gap, and they still have that game in hand. And that match with Kasımpaşa that was going to be made up or replayed will be coming up this coming Tuesday as we're recording this. But was the Eskişehirspor Fenerbahçe resolve a little bit shocking? Maybe not, because I have read that Fenerbahçe has historically not done so well in Eskişehir Atatürk Stadium, and Henri Bienvenu scoring against his former team, Erkan Zengin with a nice curling goal to win the match for Eskişehirspor. And, you know, also for Gaziantepspor, I gotta say, they're still doing really well under Sergen Yalçın. He has them playing with purpose over there. And, well, the misery really continues for Kayserispor, and, well, Kasımpaşa, you know, they're looking forward to a weekend where they're going to have to play some crucial games. Well, one, they're going to have to make up the match against Beşiktaş, but they're also playing against Konyaspor, who we'll get to in a moment, because I think they pulled off an upset against Sivasspor in the way that they did. But for Fenerbahçe, it was a missed opportunity to kind of still have that 10-point gap, but they still have a nice spoiler alert ahead, 7-point gap now over their closest rivals in Galatasaray, whom we'll get to later. But for Eskişehirspor, I mean, this is like one of those times where, you know, they kind of are hit and miss, but this is the time where they were a hit.
Yeah, and you know what a game that was. It was really kind of a surprise. I mean, you've got a lot of teams sort of rooting for Fenerbahce's demise, given that their lead had gotten so very far ahead. I think a lot of people are sort of hoping that it's going to be a little bit closer of a league than what it's looked like it will be so far. But you know, it wasn't for lack of Fenerbahce, you know, finding chances and that kind of thing, because they certainly had a lot of really close opportunities in that match. But you know, Eskişehirspor, they had just come off a two-game losing streak, their first of the season, and so they're not really accustomed to losing a lot of games in a row, and I thought that Fenerbahce was going to kind of keep them on that streak, but of course that wasn't to be the case. I'm equally impressed with Yalçın's success with Gaziantepspor. This was a road win for them, you know, against Antalyaspor, which is that much more impressive. But this was actually the first time Gaziantepspor got a goal since week 15 in their 1-0 win over Antalya. So they had a loss and a couple of draws, so it's kind of nice to see them actually put one in again, but also admirable that they kept a couple of those scoreless matches to draws. The previous two matches are to which I'm referring there. And Kayserispor, Kasımpaşa's got to be able to take a team like Kayserispor on the road. They're going to compete with some of these other teams, Sivasspor, Beşiktaş, and try to work their way up into a spot. But of course, like you say, they do have that makeup game, so maybe they'll put a little bit of extra into that. Beşiktaş, Kayserispor, it was all Beşiktaş, and then you sort of panic there a little bit in the end, but I guess they'll be happy with the win. But there's always kind of a lesson when a team nearly comes back on you like that.
Obviously, I thought that Erciyesspor might have made a game out of it, but if Bjorn Flemings didn't score it late, I would have thought that, you know, maybe Kayseri Erciyesspor would have had a chance to maybe get the draw and get out. But you know, the woes for the Kayseri teams continue. So that's my prerogative on that. And
it's true.
I guess
Beşiktaş, I mean, if you think about it, Beşiktaş actually had only one win in their previous six matches before this one. I mean, it depended on how you count that game with Kasımpaşa, of course, which will be replayed. But I mean, they haven't exactly been winning a whole ton of matches lately, but this will certainly go to help put them back in there as they're, you know, as for the first time in this season, really, we see the big three occupying the top three spots, to spoil that a little bit.
Right, and we also do want to remind that Beşiktaş and Kasımpaşa do have a game in hand, and like you said, you know, we're seeing more weak spots in the Kasımpaşa armor, and it'll be interesting to see what happens after this weekend. Well, for one, Kasımpaşa has to face Konyaspor, and then they do have to face Beşiktaş. I mean, both of those are going to be home games. And considering what Konyaspor did to Sivasspor on Sunday, and that does transition over to Sunday and Monday results. If we take a look at Sunday results, Karabükspor beats Elazığspor 3-1. Konyaspor beats Sivasspor 3-0. Akhisar Belediyespor beats Gençlerbirliği 3-1. And Galatasaray beats Bursaspor 6-0. In Monday's only result, Rizespor and Trabzonspor played to a 0-0 draw. So, Karabükspor versus Elazığspor, Michael Anoramo, Vanya Vesha scoring into his own net, the Elazığspor keeper, and Bacon Şimşek with the goals there for Karabükspor, while Onur Ayık scoring the only goal for Elazığspor there. Pape So got a direct red card in the 63rd minute. I'll explain more about that a little bit later. As for the Konyaspor-Sivasspor match, Jaume Campos, Hasan Kabze, and Theofanis Gekas in the 6th, 25th and 62nd minutes, respectively, scoring the goals for Konyaspor there. Akhisar Belediyespor against Gençlerbirliği, Giray Vural, and two goals from Omar Niasse in the 29th, 52nd, and 83rd, scoring the goals for Akhisar Belediyespor there, while Bogdan Stanku getting the only goal for Gençlerbirliği with a penalty in the 64th minute. As for Galatasaray and Bursaspor, Wesley Sneijder scoring a hat-trick in the 13th, 20th, and 43rd minutes. Emmanuel Boué, Didier Drogba, and Selçuk İnan rounding out the scoring there for Galatasaray. And as for the Rizespor-Trabzonspor match, it got a little bit interesting in the 79th minute because Yusuf Erdogan of Trabzonspor got his second yellow card, so Trabzonspor had to play the match from the 79th minute forward with 10 men, and Rizespor did turn up the attack, but it was all for naught, so it was a 0-0 draw. And, of course, we've been talking about Rizespor and their descent since the first 5 weeks of the season, and it just continues here for Trabzonspor. And I was kind of surprised by this result because I think last week we had talked about with Volkan, we talked about how poor Trabzonspor's road record is, and if I take a look at their road record, Trabzonspor, out of 9 road games this season, and after this weekend, have a record of 1 win, 2 draws, and 6 losses. So I would have thought that it would have helped Rizespor kind of break out of that funk that they've had since week 5, but it was all for naught. And if we go to Sunday's matches, I mean, I guess the Galatasaray-Bursaspor match, I really don't have really much to say about that, except it was pretty much a domination. You know, Wesley Sneijder getting a hat trick ever since his Ajax days, and he actually scored the last hat trick in his career against Feyenoord of all teams. But I really don't have really much to say about that, except it was a pretty much a domination from Galatasaray against Bursaspor at home. I mean, if we take a look at the other Sunday matches, you know, I kind of got a problem with the Pape So direct red card because he did get injured and he was being treated. And I believe it was Injedemir who grabbed his leg and tried to drag him off the field to the sidelines. But, you know, Pape So did kick out at Injedemir. Injedemir got a yellow card while Pape So got the direct red. As for the Konyaspor-Sivasspor match, I think this probably was the upset of the weekend, maybe, because Sivasspor's been doing really, really well up at the top of the table. And, you know, Konyaspor, while they're not exactly in a relegation dogfight, they're still middling in the middle of the table. But 3-0 against Sivasspor, and Sivasspor being one of the high-flying Anatolian teams, this kind of stuck out a little bit for me. I mean, with Akhisar-Belediyespor against Gençlerbirliği, you know, we talked about Akhisar-Belediyespor's home versus road record, and, well, they played at home and they won, so that was pretty much expected. But I think a lot of people were talking about the Galatasaray-Bursaspor match and that 6-0 drubbing. And really, I mean, with that dominating performance, I really think that there's really nothing else to say, but Galatasaray pretty much won this from the get-go.
Yeah, that was obviously the game which I really tuned into to watch, and I was trying not to be antisocial in the setting that I was, and I was kind of glad that I could turn the game off at halftime, kind of knowing that we were going to win, catching the highlights later. But we, in my case, meaning Galatasaray, of course, but, you know, sort of the biggest pounding of the season by any team, I don't think people really would have expected that. And, you know, you could attribute half the goals at least to just Bursaspor looking like they were taking a nap. But a few of them, you have to say, were just brilliance. I mean, you know, Schneider's second goal coming from outside the area on just an absolutely beautiful strike. And, you know, there was a lot of really good, you know, unstoppable kinds of setups for goal. And really a thrilling match to watch. Although you kind of felt bad because you sort of hope for a little bit more competition in a game. And when we get to talking about the Turkish Cup, I mean, you know, Bursaspor at least got a better result there. So it's not, you know, I feel like that was sort of a flukishly bad experience out of Bursaspor, who's really struggled to try to find any kind of consistency. Yeah, and then speaking of inconsistency, you've got Sivasspor, whom you mentioned, seemed to be doing pretty well. You know, losing 3-0 to the likes of Konyaspor. You know, remember they lost on the road as well to at home it was to Antalyaspor by the same score. You know, back in week 13, so they're not immune to sort of a blunder loss, I guess, sort of a real thrashing. I mean, Fenerbahce, you know, beat them 5-2 in Kadıköy as well. But Sivasspor would, based on how they had played, you know, the 6 weeks between that loss to Antalyaspor and now, would have definitely expected something better than the result of, you know, 3-0 to Konyaspor. So, you know, that was a good point you made there. And, Gençlerbirliği, they have just come off winning 3 straight, I guess, and so, you know, the loss comes kind of hard after that. But given that that three-game win streak was sort of uncharacteristic for them this season. I guess they'll be able to absorb a loss, but there's still a team I've got my eye on there to see if they can kind of win some points back up the table. But it's hard to say, really, this early into the second half of the season, you know. Would you say that, have we seen anything that's like really dramatically different from the team? Could maybe Galatasaray's big wins set a tone? Are we going to see Sivasspor drop? It's sometimes a little too easy to read into these things. And last thing I'll say is I thought the Black Sea Derby was a bit of a thriller for finishing 0-0. It seemed like Lua just needed some calibration there, because he had a ball off the post, a couple of balls off the post. I think he missed one by like a ball's width. There was a lot of really close chances from Rizespor, I felt like, and a few good ones from Trabzonspor as well. So surprised to see that one ended 0-0 after such a clash. As kind of hope for more out of the Black Sea Derby than nil-nil.
Yeah, and Bursaspor's defense in the Galatasaray game, I mean, we was just pretty piss poor. I mean, really have never seen Bursaspor defensively like that. And, you know, I was kind of surprised when, you know, Sergen Yildirim was starting for this game. I mean, he had been playing in Şanlıurfaspor, I think, down there. I think they're either in the... they're not in the PTT League, but I believe they are in the Turkish second division, which is the third tier. So that just kind of caught my eye. But, you know, defensively, Bursaspor, I mean, it just looked like amateur hour out there. And I guess we'll talk a little bit more about Pape So's direct red card when we get to the news, because he did get suspended. It came out earlier today as we were recording this. Anything else you want to talk about or sum up for the weekend, or do we want to go ahead and go to the standings?
Let's go to the standings.
All right, then. So the standings after 19 weeks are the following. Fenerbahce remain on 44 points, still in first place. Galatasaray only 7 points behind now with 37 in second place. Beşiktaş have 33 points, but a game in hand. Sivasspor has 32 points in fourth. Three teams with 30 points. Kasımpaşa, Eskişehirspor, and Karabükspor, but Kasımpaşa is in fifth with a goal differential of plus 10, Eskişehirspor with a plus 6, and Karabükspor with a plus 2. Keeping in mind that Kasımpaşa and Beşiktaş will make up their game this coming Tuesday, so both of them have a game in hand, so we won't have to worry about, you know, games in hand by the time this podcast records next week. So the gap gets a little bit closer, and when we go to the week 20 schedule, it doesn't get any easier for Fenerbahçe. They do have to go to Sivas to play Sivasspor. And for Galatasaray, you know, they're at home against Eskişehirspor. You know, Eskişehirspor probably with riding the momentum there, you know, ready to go into Galatasaray, maybe give them a better game than Bursaspor did last week. But looking at the standings, yeah, Fenerbahçe still has a pretty healthy gap of 7 points. But, you know, stranger things have happened in this league. But if we go down to the relegation fight, Rizespor is in 15th with 17 points. Elazığspor is in 16th with 16 points. Kayserispor in 17th with 13 points. And Erciyesspor at the bottom with 12. Rizespor, we've been talking about them a whole bunch. I'm not going to get into the whole since week 5 thing. But Elazığspor, they might have a shot at it if Rizespor, you know, keeps this form up, you know, this really dull form up. And, well, it's not going to... Well, actually, it could be interesting because there might be a relegation 6-pointer, I think they call it, because they do have to pay Erciyesspor in Kayseri. So that would be on Saturday, and we'll get to more on that in a moment. But looking at the standings, what jumps out to you?
I mean, you start to wonder who's safe from relegation now. You know, you got Konya and Antalyaspor in 13th and 14th places, and Antalya's got, what, about 5 points on Elazığspor at the top of the relegation zone. So just sort of looking to the weekend, right? If Antalyaspor can get some kind of a result, they're playing away to Bursaspor this weekend. But if they can kind of, you know, get themselves farther away from those four teams at the bottom, because there is a growing gap there. So, you know, and that'll really kind of change things. And the fight will be just as intense, I think, because you'll have four teams down there and only 3 relegation spots. But, you know, that'll be something to watch for. And, you know, Antalyaspor also still has a dog in the Turkish Cup fight as well. So some of their time is been taken up, you know, playing some of those games. So hopefully they're not too tired to put on a good show for Bruce's Boar this weekend. But it just seems to me like we've had a lot of surprising matches these first couple of games coming out of the midseason break. So it kind of makes it exciting again, right? It started to feel toward the end of the first half of the season that we could kind of predict things a little bit. But now you look at the table and you think, well, a lot could happen, and I'm just sort of watching for trends. You know, will Gensch Lerberly kind of make the climb? Who's going to be that third or that fourth team up there to contend for European spots?
That should be an interesting race to watch as we move forward towards the end of the season. But let's move on to the Week 20 schedule. So Friday, the 7th of February, we'll see Kasımpaşa hosting Konyaspor and Gaziantepspor hosting Beşiktaş. I should put in a note there that Sergey Yalçın will be on the sidelines for this match. I had reported last week when I was here with Volkan that Sergey Yalçın was going to be away getting his coaching license. But he will be on the sidelines for this match for Gaziantepspor against Beşiktaş, and that's actually going to be a little bit interesting when we move on to the news in terms of Cenk Tosun. Saturday's matches, we'll see Erciyesspor hosting Rizespor and Galatasaray hosting Eskişehirspor. Sunday's matches, we'll see Elazığspor hosting Kayserispor, Sivasspor hosting Fenerbahçe, Bursaspor hosting Antalyaspor, and Trabzonspor hosting Akhisar Belediyespor. Monday's only match, we'll see Gençler Birliği hosting Karabükspor. And we should also mention this, the following day on Tuesday, the replayed match from Week 15, that match will be made up, is the infamous Kasımpaşa Beşiktaş match, you know, with the whole Ryan Donk ball spiking thing. So I guess that is kind of like an addition to Week 20, but we should have everybody on even keel after 20 matches in the league after Tuesday. But looking at the matches, I think we've got some relegation six-pointers on the way. If you look at the Erciyesspor, Rizespor, and Elazığspor, Kayserispor matches. So those are going to be interesting to see in terms of the relegation fight, because it is sort of close between the teams. Now, looking up at the Gaziantepspor Beşiktaş match, spoiler alert ahead, Cenk Tosun actually did sign for Beşiktaş. That will take effect at the end of the season because his Gaziantepspor contract does come to an end after this season. So it'll be interesting to see whether Tosun does play against the team he's going to join in the summertime. It kind of reminds me of, you know, Bundesliga teams like signing players, you know, kind of during the season, but registering them in the summertime. You know, it's like, I think Mario Götze, I think you remember that right before the Dortmund-Munich Champions League final. I think he signed for Munich. So that should be an interesting thing there with Cenk Tosun to see, you know, how he performs against the team he's going to eventually join when the season is over. And looking at the games in terms of the leaders, you know, Fenerbahce has got a pretty tough test against Sivasspor because, obviously, Sivasspor, you know, a bit of a drubbing against Konyaspor in Konya. So Sivasspor probably wants to recover against that embarrassing loss against Konyaspor and play a little bit of spoiler to Fenerbahce. And as for the Galatasaray-Eskişehirspor match, I guess everybody's hoping that Eskişehirspor gives Galatasaray a little bit more of a challenge than Bursaspor did in comparison with last week. And, you know, the Kasımpaşa Beşiktaş match that's going to be coming up on Tuesday, you know, that's going to be really interesting in the sense of they're replaying the whole game instead of just starting off from where the match should have been stopped in terms of the rule infraction for the whole Donk thing. But Beşiktaş, you know, one tricky away fixture at Gaziantepspor, and, you know, they'll probably be out for revenge against Kasımpaşa in the Recep Tayyip Erdoğan Stadium. So it's really like two road games in a very short time period. If we're going to concentrate really on Beşiktaş, I think maybe their match against Kasımpaşa, you know, the replay match, is probably going to be the easier task out of the two, or the less challenging task out of the two, because we see Kasımpaşa, they're not really doing so well. You know, they're starting to tail off a little bit. And as for Gaziantepspor against Beşiktaş, again, the whole deal with Cenk Tosun, you know, that's going to be really interesting. But, you know, Sergey Yalçın, I think, has come out and said, well, you know, I'm a Beşiktaş fan, but do you really expect me to lay down for these guys? Probably not. That kind of signals to me, like, hey, this guy's a competitor. But other than that, I mean, we've got a relegation six-pointer. You know, we're still looking up at the top of the table to see if the gap gets any closer. And Beşiktaş is, how do I put this?
Well, Beşiktaş is going to want to maintain their three-point lead on Kasımpaşa going into that replay match, right? So they, you know, the impetus is really on them to try to bring something to Gaziantepspor on Friday. And that's going to probably be a bit more challenging than Kasımpaşa facing the likes of Konyaspor in Istanbul. But then, of course, you have to look at Konyaspor's home thrashing at Sivasspor we were just talking about. So, you know, either game could go either way, you kind of think on the face of it. But Beşiktaş will definitely be hoping to maintain their advantage going into that replay match, although it will be very interesting if they are tied on points going into that as well. I mean, a lot rides on that game. And Kasımpaşa at home is definitely a different Kasımpaşa than the one on the road, too, so it's something to consider there. But
I did forget to mention this. Kasımpaşa have the home advantage. They're playing on Friday at home, and then the Tuesday they host Beşiktaş, so that's also an advantage for them. And I was thinking, you know, probably Beşiktaş really has a real tough schedule in terms of they have to go on the road to Gaziantep, then they have to come back to Istanbul and go to Kasımpaşa in order to play them in the replay match.
Right, right. And then to throw in a quick word about some of the other games going around, I mean, you were saying about Galatasaray and Eskişehirspor, hoping Eskişehir puts on a bit of a better show. I'm just hoping for a goal. I mean, the last time these two teams met in the first half of the season, it was scoreless, and I think everybody hoped for more than that, at least. So I'm really excited to see that clash. I really like watching Eskişehirspor playing Fenerbahçe, and that'll definitely give them the confidence that they need to go into Türk Telekom Arena on Saturday. And you know, Sivasspor and Fenerbahçe, I don't have a lot of hope for Sivasspor given how badly they were thrashed you know, in the first meetup of these two teams. But certainly it'll be an interesting one to watch, as Fenerbahçe will be looking to recover from the game last weekend. Of course, you know, two straight road matches for Fenerbahçe, so they've got that relative difficulty to contend with in their schedule. So this will be their second straight away match, but I imagine they'll find more success on against Sivasspor this weekend on Sunday.
Well, let me mention one thing about that match. That match is going to be played in the afternoon, mm-hmm. and in recent history, Fenerbahce really hasn't done well in afternoon games. Usually their games are scheduled for prime time, like at 7 or 8 o'clock. In recent history, Fenerbahce has not done very well in afternoon games, so there's another factor to really think about there. Anything else you want to talk about? You know, I mean, I've kind of mentioned the relegation six-pointer clashes between Erciyesspor, Rizespor, and the Elazığspor, Kayserispor matches. So, anything else that stands out to you?
Nope. I think it's going to be awesome, and I'm looking forward to it.
All right, then. So, that will do it for this segment of Turkish Football Weekly. Coming up, we'll go over the recent Turkish Cup results and some news going around the Turkish football world. So, stay tuned. And welcome back to Turkish Football Weekly. Let's head into Turkish Cup results for match day 5 in the group stages. We'll start off with Group A. Sivasspor loses to Bursaspor 2-1, and Akhisar Belediyespor plays to a 1-1 draw with Eskişehirspor. So the standings for Group A look like this after 5 match days in the group stage. Bursaspor with 10 points in first, Akhisar Belediyespor with 8 points, Eskişehirspor with 7 points, and Sivasspor with 3 points. Sivasspor out of the running for the semifinals. Bursaspor in the semifinals of the Turkish Cup in Group B. Tokatspor loses to Galatasaray at home 3-0. Antalyaspor beats Elazığspor 2-1. So Group B is basically all set in terms of the semifinalists coming out of there. Antalyaspor has 11 points, Galatasaray has 10 points, Elazığspor with 5 points, and Tokatspor with 1 point. So 3 out of the 4 semifinal spots are set, and it's basically a race to see who gets that fourth one between Akhisar and Eskişehirspor. Any thoughts on this?
For the first time this season, we now, you know, all the contenders remaining in the Turkish Cup are in the Super League. That with the elimination of Tokatspor, the results you were just going over couldn't have been better for Bursaspor. Actually, everything went according to plan for them. But it'll be really interesting to me to see who ekes out that second spot between Akhisar Belediye and Eskişehirspor. So I'm talking about Group A there. If you kind of compare the teams which remain in the cup to where they are in the standings. In the Super League, Antalyaspor is now sort of the lowest ranked team still in the Turkish Cup. They're currently in 14th place in the league. Then you've got Bursa and Akhisar Belediye in 10th and 9th places, and Eskişehirspor in 6th place, Galatasaray up in 2nd place. So when you look at the table, you can kind of see, well, for Akhisar, Bursa, and Antalyaspor, it's pretty much gonna have to be the Turkish Cup. At least definitely for Antalyaspor. I mean, Bursaspor and Akhisar Belediye could climb the table up pretty quickly with a couple of wins and find themselves with a Europa League spot. But for the likes of Antalyaspor, I mean they kinda need this one and they've performed undeniably quite well. Currently leading Group B. They'll try for a result on Wednesday against Galatasaray to win the group. And all the last games of these group matchups happening this coming Wednesday, the 12th. So we will know by next week's podcast, you know, who exactly is all going to the semis and what those matchups will be.
Right, or at least we'll know what the matchups will be, because we do know 3 of the semifinalists in Bursaspor, Antalyaspor, and Galatasaray, but that should be some interesting matchups there. Let's move on to the news then. It reported last week that Dani Nanku was going to be loaned off to Gaziantepspor last week. Well, he has refused that move. He has instead been loaned off to Beşiktaş for the rest of the season. I mentioned this earlier, Cenk Tosun, his Gaziantepspor contract expires at the end of the season. He signed a 5-year contract to join Beşiktaş after the current season is over. Eskişehirspor signed midfielder Rahim Lawal to a 3.5-year deal. He had recently been playing for Mersin Banyurdu in the PTT First Division until his contract was terminated a few weeks ago. Beşiktaş's Jermaine Jones has a strain groin that will keep him out of action for 2 weeks. Fenerbahçe's Pierre Weibel has a strain in his Achilles tendon that will have him out of action for at least 2 to 3 weeks. Andreas Isaksson has extended his contract with Kasımpaşa for an additional 2 years. Bursaspor have released Tuncay Şanlı from his contract by mutual consent. Pape So of Elazığspor had mentioned him earlier in terms of his direct red card in the Karabükspor match Elazığspor had. He's been suspended for the next 3 matches for that direct red card due to his kick to Karabükspor's Yiğit Demir during So's medical treatment. Some moves now. Trabzonspor have signed defensive midfielder Alex Borciano for Steaua Bucharest for €1.3 million. The player signs a 3.5-year contract. 2 moves from Galatasaray. They have signed Eskişehirspor right back Faisal Sura. They pay a total of €930,000. €230,000 of that was owed to the player himself. And they have also taken on loan defender Guillermo Burdiso from Boca Juniors. There is an option to buy for €3 million. Fenerbahçe have had their 1-match stadium ban for cursing and fan misbehavior in their Week 18 match against Konyaspor rescinded. The stadium ban was to have taken effect during the Week 21 match against Kasımpaşa. And some interesting statements from Yıldırım Demirören, the chairman of the Turkish Football Federation. He has come out recently, actually before we started recording this podcast today, which is Thursday, that if the foreigner cap is to be amended, all 18 Super League clubs must petition the TFF to do so. I wanted to talk about the Pape So direct red card. He gets 3 matches out of the deal. You know, I have a feeling that's probably going to get appealed and maybe like 1 match gets knocked off, because you see the guy lying down. He's getting treatment. You know, Ingedemir takes his leg, you know, maybe trying to drag him towards the sidelines, you know, get him out of the way, get the match back underway. But So kicks out. And I don't know. I mean, if a guy's laying down there for medical treatment, I mean, what's the opposing player supposed to do? I think, like, the opposing player really has to just back off. And, you know, there's always this whole play-acting deal, what we see in the sport all the time. But I was kind of surprised to see exactly what happened. I mean, Ingedemir did get a yellow card out of the deal, but So gets a direct red. And, you know, I believe Elazığspor put out a statement saying that they were really disappointed in the refereeing in terms of that decision. And I really don't think that Pape So really kind of did anything wrong. I mean, if that was me, I probably would have done the same thing. But I guess within the rules of the game, that's kind of like what the referee is supposed to do. I don't know about this. I think, like, maybe, you know, So could have gotten, like, the normal two matches, and that would have been fine. But I have a feeling this is going to get appealed by Elazığspor.
Yeah, I also have a big problem with this decision. I was going to mention it earlier when you first brought it up in the podcast, but it's like when you have a player who's on the ground and he's potentially injured, or maybe he's faking it, but it's like no one's supposed to touch him, right? You know, except for the medical people or whatever. I mean, especially a player from the other team physically trying to drag you off the field. That's, like, highly inappropriate, right? Yeah, I really felt like the punishments were not handed out, were handed out disproportionately. I won't be surprised if some of that is amended or changed, some other way between now and next week. It's just not right. Sorry.
I just feel like, you know, he's down on the ground, you know, just let everybody clear out, although maybe there might be some arguments that, you know, if you kick out towards an opposing player, yeah, you'll get, you know, a direct red, but, you know, a yellow would have been sufficient for that, you know, because he's down on the ground. It's like, what the heck is he supposed to do? And just having the opposing player just, you know, take him by the leg and drag him out onto the sidelines, I'm like, come on, dude. I mean, just stay away, you know, just let them do what they have to do. You know, you might think it's play acting, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but he shouldn't do that because people like us think he should. He should do that because he should, you know, and he did get a yellow card. I felt like, okay, that's okay. I mean, if it had been a red, it wouldn't have shocked me either because that's just totally inappropriate. He gets a card, but then, you know, to punish So for kicking him, it's like, it's, I don't know. I can kind of see that too, but it just feels a little unfair.
Yeah,
because he provoked, one of those, you know?
Yeah, I think this is one of those times where, you know, the whole instant replay argument might come into play. I just thought of that just
right
now.
Well, I mean, for things like red cards and suspensions and stuff like that, I mean, they do watch the replay, you know what I mean? They do review these kinds of things. So it's not, yeah, the instant replay thing would have helped because then you're not down a man for the rest of the match. I agree with you there, but, I mean, there's still some room for proper justice to be served.
Right. I wanted to talk about the Cenk Tosun signing.
Yeah. By Beşiktaş. I think it's really exciting for him.
Yeah. I believe he has been a Beşiktaş fan since he was a kid. And, you know, that's pretty much a dream come true for him. Although, like I said earlier on, it'll be interesting to see what happens this weekend if he plays. And I believe he's going to play for Gaziantepspor against Beşiktaş. Although, if he didn't play against Beşiktaş, well, you know, that's pretty understandable, you know, the whole conflict of interest thing, even though some people in Turkey might think otherwise. But, you know, Tosun against the team he's going to be playing for in terms of signing for them in the summertime, or his contract will take effect during the summer because his Gaziantepspor contract expires at the end of this season. You know, that's going to be pretty interesting. And there's going to be times where I'm going to think, you know, people are probably going to read way too much into what Tosun does due to the whole current environment in the sport in Turkey at the moment. But, you know, for Cenk Tosun, you know, one, he's been a Beşiktaş fan since he was a child, so obviously it's a dream come true for him. And for Beşiktaş, they're getting a Turkish forward, especially considering that the foreigner cap is going to be tightened starting next season with the 5+0+3 rule. So that's also an event for Beşiktaş to get a pretty relatively young striker, and it's advantageous for Beşiktaş because remember when he first came in for Gaziantepspor and he was, you know, scoring all those goals and pretty much was a revelation when he was there at Gaziantepspor because I believe he got transferred from Eintracht Frankfurt. You know, he's one of those, you know, diaspora players. But, you know, for Beşiktaş, this is definitely a good move, especially, you know, I believe Hugo Almeida is out with injury again. I believe his he's back in training a bit. But, you know, in case Hugo Almeida leaves, you know, you got Tosun here to pick up the slack.
Yeah, no, I think it's really exciting for him and for Beşiktaş as well. It is a bit weird to have him playing Beşiktaş this weekend because, you know, if you assume that Beşiktaş is going to go and play in European competition, or if you assume that it's going to be a close call whether or not they do end up playing in the Champions League or the Europa League, because they are in strong contention for both, really, you know, then a loss over the weekend could really hinder that a bit, right? And obviously, Cenk Tosun would like to play in Europe this summer, like, right away if he could. I can see that conflict of interest. So you might say, well, even though he doesn't really sign on till the end of the season, yeah, okay, what happens this weekend in terms of his performance won't affect him directly, I guess, in the same sense, in terms of Beşiktaş's success in the season. But there's still something there, you know, assuming that they go and play in Europe after that, and once he's on board. He hasn't been firing in the goals quite like he was when he first joined up Gaziantepspor, but he's already got 7 goals on the season this year, and it just seems like he would. You know how some players just, they tend to shine when they're surrounded by people who can really, like, you know, pass them the ball or like, you know, sometimes
the players around him make him better.
Exactly. And so I think I will not be surprised if that's exactly what happens when we see him playing for Beşiktaş starting in the summer.
Yeah, and, you know, Beşiktaş still has to figure out if they're going to buy Gökhan Töre or not. You know, Rubin Kazan still has that, I think it's 7.5 million euro buyout, that transfer fee for, you know, Töre services. So, you know, Beşiktaş has got some, you know, deciding to do. But this weekend's match between Gaziantepspor and Beşiktaş is going to be interesting. And I thought of, you know, Robert Lewandowski is going to Bayern Munich in the summertime. And I'm thinking, okay, when Dortmund meets up with Munich, does Lewandowski play against Munich, you know, the team he's going to join? You know, the whole deal with Mario Götze before the Champions League final last season, you know, back in May.
Right.
And that whole deal. So it's an interesting dynamic going into this weekend.
I don't think it's as big of a deal as some people will say it is. I mean, you sort of already warned us that Twitter might be a place where you're going to find all sorts of commentary on that, as it surely will. But I mean, I think most players, like, even if you're playing the team that you're about to transfer to, it's kind of like maybe you just want to show them just how good you are as well. I mean, there's a big individual aspect to all of this, and I'm not that worried about it, but you're right. It is an interesting footnote on the game.
You want to talk about Jermaine Jones? I mean, you know, last week he did go on loan from Schalke to Beşiktaş, and since this is the last year of his contract with Schalke, you know, Beşiktaş does have the right to sign him on a free in case he does well. I mean, he's an American, so obviously we're kind of familiar with him from the U.S. national team, but I actually wanted to get your opinions on Beşiktaş signing Jermaine Jones, even though he does have a strained groin that's going to keep him action for about a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about not seeing him for a couple of weeks, as, you know, as long as he starts off fit and strong and everything like that. I think it's awesome. I mean, you know, we've seen a few more Americans, you know, finding their way to Turkey in recent years.
Well, I can mention one. You remember last season, Maurice Adu, who's now with the Philadelphia Union, he played for Bursaspor. Josie Altidore did back in the 2010-2011 season. He played for Bursaspor on loan.
And Freddie Adu at Çaykur Rizespor for a little while there.
Yeah.
As well.
So we're seeing, you know, in recent history that, you know, Americans are going to Turkey really more for playing time. And, well, in Jones's case, I think his U.S. men's national team spot is pretty secure, but obviously he does need the playing time and keep himself in playing shape.
Exactly. I think it's really exciting. And I kind of hope that he is one of those foreigners who really takes to Istanbul and takes to Beşiktaş. And you can kind of tell when certain players just want to be there. You know, when you see Drogba, you know, he loves it. He loves it there at Galatasaray. Like when you see Slaven Bilic, right? He, There's a guy who loves, he just genuinely loves Besiktas and loves being there. Like, I really hope that we see that same kind of attitude emanating from Jermaine Jones there. That'll be really nice. And it gives a good name to the sport in the United States as well, and to have Americans running around. So, in Turkey, I think I'm personally very excited about it. I follow U.S. soccer quite closely, and, yeah. So it, on a personal level, it's even more exciting for that reason.
Sometimes I read on some American soccer boards that, you know, unless it's like the EPL or La Liga or like the major leagues, it's like, well, why is he going to like this league or something like that? But, you know, he'll definitely get some playing time in Turkey. I mean, I talked about it last week, you know, the whole Jermaine Jones move, and I referred to him as Felipe Melo Light because that's the way I've seen him in the U.S. men's national team. That's really all I've seen of him. You know, I don't really follow the Bundesliga as much as I should, but Jermaine Jones, I still think it's a good signing for them. I wanted to get to what Yıldırım Demirören said about the whole deal with the foreigner cap, if it's to be amended. Anything else you wanted to talk about in terms of, like, the news other than that?
Nope, I'm good.
Okay, let's move on to TFF Chairman Yıldırım Demirören and his statements earlier today before we started recording this in a press conference, saying that if the foreigner cap in the Turkish Super League is to be amended, all 18 Super League clubs must petition the TFF to do so. Well, first of all, I don't think it's really going to be a unanimous
yeah, right?
deal. With,
you can't get 18 anything to agree on something.
Yeah, and I think that every team knew that the way that the current cap is at the moment, they were informed of this, you know, I believe it was last season, or I believe it was maybe in the middle of the second half of last season that, hey, this is now going to be coming in. But if he's open to, you know, amending it, and if all the Super League clubs want to say, hey, okay, we want this to be changed, well, then I think he's probably right in taking another look at it. But next season, there's only going to be 8 foreigners to be registered, and only 5 can be listed on the matchday roster. And, you know, some of these teams are trying to adjust their rosters in order to comply with that. So, okay, I don't think all 18 teams are probably going to be really in agreement with this because, you know, I figure, you know, you already knew about this. And why would you want to have it changed? But, you know, if they're all in agreement, I mean, Yıldırım Demirören will just have to say, okay, we'll just take a look at it and we'll see what happens, you know. And, you know, we go into the whole deal about, you know, the foreigner cap all the time, the whole foreigner limit. And, you know,
right.
Hans had his say.
Right.
Volkan will probably have his say. You know, I've had my say about it. You've had your say about it. I mean, I'm still saying, you know, I don't find anything wrong with a foreigner cap. I mean, if the way that they do it is bad, well, okay, that it's bad. But, you know, who's making up the rules here? You know, the TFF is the one that makes up the rules. And, you know, I make the argument, you know, how's this going to affect the Turkish national team? Obviously, we've seen that development has been outsourced. But Khan has explained a lot more about Turkish youth development than I have within the country itself. But the problem is, if you're going to try and get all 18 teams to be on the same page, I highly doubt that's going to happen.
Well, I think he's really just trying to make the point that, like, he's not going to go down shooting if every team in the league wants to change the foreigner cap rule. But I see your point. It's like, who makes the rules around here? The clubs really shouldn't be really. It's not a democracy. I mean, there are certain regulations in place, and like you say, it's like, you know, what direction do you want to take Turkish football? And it seems like the obvious goals of having a foreigner cap are keep some of the money at home for development, you know, of national team youth development and things like that. And I think that's a, you know, a worthy cause. It's just, I don't know. It's a weird thing because, like, there are some teams which would really, especially teams playing in Europe and that kind of thing, who would really benefit to being able to bring on more foreigners. But in a way, that might kind of create a balance of power issue as well, and thereby make it harder for some of these smaller clubs who don't have quite as big budgets to bring a lot
compete?
Of to basically to basically, you know, compete and to buy, you know, compete in the league. I mean, because it, you know, the likes of Elazığspor, they're not thinking about playing in Europe and will they be able to compete against other European clubs? They're just concerned with competition within the league. So.
Yeah, right now they're concerned about staying up in the league.
Well, that too. But yeah, exactly. But I mean, they're a team that even when they were, even before, you know, when the season first started, I don't think the good people at Elazığspor were thinking, oh, you know, if only this foreigner cap issue wasn't a big deal, because will we be able to compete in Europe as well? That I don't think that was a thing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, unless, like, you know, you have clubs, and I guess this is really more concerning the bigger clubs, but,
yeah,
you know, they've got a bunch of money to throw around. You know, maybe some of the clubs, you know, are in, you know, financial straits, and I happened to read something off of the Sport Economy blog from Turkey about, you know, financial fair play, but it's kind of really complicated. They use really complicated economical terms, so, I mean, eventually, I would like to have a discussion about how financial fair play is going to affect the Turkish clubs, at least the ones that are listed on the Istanbul Stock Exchange. But
sure,
you know, I think that's probably going to have to wait for a different date, because, you know, my Turkish isn't exactly that great, especially when it comes to economic terms. But I'm kind of worried that if the foreigner cap does, you know, get lifted, we're going to see an arms race, and, you know, there's going to be the haves and the have-nots. I know in Russia they have a rule where I believe they have to field five Russian natives on the field at one time, and you can sign as many foreigners as you want, but, you know, Russia, they've got money to spend, you know, especially with, the, you know, Zenit St. Petersburg, for instance, you know, as an arbitrary example. But, you know, in Turkey, you know, looking at the economy, you know, it's not, you know, doing so well at the moment. The lira is dropping against the dollar, even though it's pretty much, you know, kind of recovered now. I mean, it's 3 liras for every euro, you know, if you can believe that.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a bit of a problem, because you've got these clubs that are doing business in Turkish liras, and they're paying their players in euros. And, well, if the currency isn't doing so well, you know, that's going to probably be an issue. But if all the 18 clubs decide to say, hey, look, you know, we want this changed, at least Demirören should say, okay, well, if you guys really do want this, we'll take a look at it, and we'll see what happens, you know. And as much as, you know, Demirören gets a lot of crap for a lot of the things that the TFF does, at least he's saying, hey, look, I mean, if you guys want to take a look at this and you want us to review this foreigner cap, you know, we'll be glad to do it if all of you agree to it. But, you know, there's always the other side of, you know, maybe this will cause a arms race and kind of widen the gap between the haves and the have-nots. And let's keep in mind, you know, some of these clubs, they're still having trouble paying their players. I mean, you know, Veysel Sara going to Galatasaray, he was still owed 230,000 euros from Eskişehirspor. So, you know, he obviously got that in the transfer when he goes to Galatasaray, and he's already been registered. And I believe Alex Telles has also been registered, so I just wanted to update that from last week. But you got to remember something, that, you know, Gaziantepspor has had problems paying their players. Obviously, Trabzonspor have had problems paying their players. I mean, we reported on that a few months ago, in terms of Volkan Şen, for instance. So, okay, the foreigner cap, maybe for some it's a bad idea, but, you know, without one, you kind of have to look into both the positives and the negatives of it. Going back to Yıldırım Demirören, I mean, if all the 18 clubs come together and say, hey, look, here's our petition, we need you to review this foreigner cap for us, you know, because we think this is not going to do well for, you know, our league and the business. Okay, fine. But, you know, sometimes you think maybe the clubs are really out for themselves in this point.
Look, I just don't see that ever happening. I think Demirören is just wasting everybody's time. It's just not going to happen. And in my view, it's not really something the club should be deciding anyway. So he creates a lot of conversation or whatever when he says things like this, but it's not, to me, it's really not that valuable. Like, it's not even a really valuable discussion. The teams aren't going to, I just really don't see the teams ever doing that. All 18 of them? Like, no way. It's sort of crazy, and then if they did abolish the cap, you know, they'd have to put some other cap in place or something. You know what I mean? They'd have to draft some other rule. It's not like a binary situation. It
right.
Just seems sort of silly to me.
you're not going to see, like, a Turkish club fielding 11 non-Turks on the field. You know, that's not going to happen, and nobody would stand for it.
Yeah.
You know, even though that, okay, suppose that there is no foreigner cap. But, you know, like I said, I mean, earlier, there probably would be an arms race, and then the, you know, the haves and have-nots, that gap will get wider when it really should be getting, you know, a little bit closer. But, you know, that's just my prerogative on that, you know. I mean, I've made mention that I have no problem with a foreigner cap, just make it a little bit sensible. You know, some people want this foreigner cap to, you know, be over and done with and, you know, make it like an EU-type rule where, you know, if you have an EU passport, you're not counted as a foreigner in terms of, you know, Turkish Football Federation regulations. But then again, Turkey's not an EU country. You know, I've argued that a few months ago. So, I mean, that's my prerogative on that.
Cool, yeah, I don't have anything else to really add to it, I think.
All right, then, so that will do it for this edition of Turkish Football Weekly. Jeremy, thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me, as always.
And we thank you for listening to Turkish Football Weekly this week, and we will see you all next time.